We've had a great time, and they'll be leaving in the morning. I told somebody today, it's bittersweet. It's bitter, but it sure is going to be sweet to have my house back for just a few days. Next week, they can come back, but you know how it is. But it's really been a great time. I'm not going to really preach to you tonight. I had earlier in the week decided to preach on something, and when I got here this afternoon and really started honing in on it, just didn't come together, and so I decided to go a different way. And tonight, I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to kind of give you a thought, something that I want you to think about. But we're going to look at that from John chapter number 8. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Jesus went up into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it had convicted, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. For the last couple of months, I've really been busy doing a lot of different things and really haven't had time to watch my favorite TV shows. You know, that's when you get old, that's what you enjoy doing. Along about 7 o'clock, I want to be in my easy chair, you know, watching all my favorite shows. And one of my favorite shows is a show that is called Bull. Anybody watch Bull on Monday nights? It's just become what I like, law shows, you know, those type of things. And the other day I was working late, and CJ for some reason was watching it. She didn't ever watch it with me. It's something that I record, but she had it on. I don't know if she was trying to appease me or something, but they were dealing with a Catholic priest that had been convicted of a drunk driving accident. Now, ultimately, he didn't do that. He was covering for someone in his church that came and confessed. But in the process of preparing him to take the witness stand, one of the lawyers that works for Bull was preparing him, and so he was questioning this priest, and he was really kind of giving him some hard questions. He was going after him in a very difficult way, and this priest kind of got offensive, and they kind of led to a banter back and forth, and they began to talk about just things in general. And the priest told him, he said, you know, if you ever need someone to talk to, or if you're ever going through a difficulty in your life, you can come to me, and I will help you through those things and maybe help you to find God. The guy that was the lawyer said, you know, I don't think I want any part of that. Because of a lifestyle that he was living, he said this, you know, he said, the church and everybody else that is Christian has rejected me. They have just pushed me aside. The Catholic priest asked him, he said, well, what kind of religion are you? And I know that they was taking a dig at Baptist because he said, I was Baptist. But they have condemned everything that I stand for. He was living in a sinful lifestyle, I'll give you that. But he should not have felt condemned by those that should be trying to win him to the Lord. Now here's the hard thing about the Christian life. We have to stand for truth. The Bible teaches us that truth is important and that we are to stand for truth. Matter of fact, I had thought about preaching from Jude tonight about contending for the faith. And the Bible says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith or earnestly contend for the truths of the Word of God. But when you read the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians, the Bible says that we are to speak the truth in love. So we are to stand for the truth, but we're to do it in such a way that people do not leave feeling condemned. Now, if you look up the word condemned, it's a very interesting word. And especially here, because here is what it means in the text, John chapter number 8. It means that they felt utterly rejected. Utterly rejected. As a young man, I was filled with passion. And I am quite sure that after I have preached sermons, people left and they felt utterly rejected. I used to kind of take it as a stance of pride. Boy, I gave the truth today, amen. And if you don't like it, too bad. But you know what? That's not what Jesus did. And you know what? It is a tough balance. Standing for the truth, but presenting it in such a way that when people walk away, they do not feel rejected. So here's what I want to do. Kind of work our way through this passage tonight shortly. And I want to show you how Jesus did it. The Bible talks about that, verse number 2, that he was in the temple. And as he was in the temple, he was surrounded by people. He had sat down amongst them and he was teaching with authority. We know that the scribes and the Pharisees have been trying to convict him, to put him to death, to arrest him. And so they did come up with this elaborate scheme that they are going to put him in a very difficult position. And so they bring to him a woman that is caught, has been caught in adultery. The Bible says in verse number 4 that she was caught in the very act of adultery. But here's the thing. There is two people that are involved in adultery. There is a man and there is a woman. I don't know if you find it interesting, but I find it interesting that they choose not to bring the man. They only choose to bring the woman. And so they bring this woman and they bring her to Jesus. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "Now Moses in the law," the Pharisees are speaking here, "commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" Not only was the woman to be stoned, but also the man was to be stoned. But they just forgot about the man. Verse number 6 says, "This they say, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not." Now Jesus was in a predicament. Because here's the predicament. Is that if he goes easy on this woman and he just lets her go, then these Pharisees and these Sadducees are going to accuse him of breaking the law. But if he comes at her in a harsh manner, if he tells them that she should be stoned, then those that he has been trying to minister to and give compassion and teach forgiveness and grace and mercy to, then they are going to be all put by that because they're going to be thinking, hey, he is hard, he is unkind, he is unloving, and he has been talking to us about mercy and grace and forgiveness and all of these things. So Jesus is in a quandary. But I like how he responds. He doesn't say anything immediately. That goes against our nature, isn't it? Boy, when we see somebody that's not measuring up to our standard, or we see somebody that's not measuring up to the things that we want to do, and boy, we hear about it, man, we always have a response to it. Well, I would never do that. I always knew that they were evil or wicked like that. I always knew that they would do things like that. We always have a response. But Jesus, for the first few moments, when they came to him and they were accusing this woman, he just kneeled down and he began to write. Now, I've heard all kinds of messages on what Jesus was writing. I have no earthly idea, and all these theologians, they don't have any idea what he was writing. All I know is that Jesus was writing on the ground. And verse number 7 says, and so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I was reading one theologian this a couple of weeks ago when I was looking at this passage, and he had a take on this that I'd never heard before. And I don't know that I buy into it all, but it is a good thought to think about. He was saying that one of the sins that he was talking about, he was telling these guys, hey, you that are without the very same sin that you're accusing this woman of, you cast the first stone. One of the things that I have found in my life is those that yell the loudest at others usually are guilty of some of the same things in their life. It's just human nature. If we can take the light off of us and put it on someone else, it makes our life a lot easier. Like I said, I don't know that I buy into that at all, but it is a thought. Hey, you guys, hey, if you are not guilty of the same sin, then you can cast the first stone. The Bible says in verse number 8, and again he stooped down and he began to write on the ground. In verse number 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You see, all these guys that were judging, that were condemning, that was utterly rejecting this woman, when they looked at their lives, they all had to turn and leave. Verse number 10. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Jesus was saying this, I don't utterly reject you. He's not pushing away the sin. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But see, Jesus, as Brother Chris talked about this morning from John chapter number 3, he did not come to condemn. Matter of fact, I want you to go with me back to Luke chapter number 4, please. Luke chapter number 4. This is right after his temptation in the wilderness. He is beginning his public ministry. And in this passage of Scripture, he tells us exactly what his purpose and why he has come to this earth. Verse number 14, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out the fame of him through all the regions round about, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus said, you know what, I didn't come to condemn, I come to heal those that are broken. He said, I have come to preach to the poor, those that society has utterly rejected, those that society has cast aside. Jesus says, you know what? I've come to minister to them. I come to help them. I come to heal them. I come to give them the gospel. those that have been utterly rejected because of criminal offenses, those that are captive. He says, you know what, man, I've come to preach deliverance. And you know what? All of us was in that same condition. We were condemned. We deserve condemnation. Matter of fact, I know that you've heard me read these verses, but I want to read them to you, and I want you to see them in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, when you read the first three chapters of the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the Jew, he is writing to the Gentile, and he is showing them exactly where they are in life without Christ. And in Romans 1, in verse number 32, the Bible says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, if you read all of the things before, all the sins before that he's talking about, you're going to find out that, hey, you've committed some of those things. You have some of those things in your life before you were saved. And the Apostle Paul says, because of that sin, you were worthy of death. You were worthy to be utterly rejected. When you go to Romans chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 9, here is what the Bible says. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Don't miss this next phrase. And all the world may become guilty before God. Verse number 23 is a verse that all of you have memorized. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, God has a standard. And here is the thing. Not one of us has met that standard. All of us have fallen short. And you know what that makes you worthy of? That makes you worthy of condemnation. But you know what? That's not why Christ came. Here was a woman that was caught in a heinous sin, a wicked sin. And Jesus could have went railing on her and said, "How dare you? How could you break the law? How could you do all of these things?" But you know what? Neither do I condemn thee. It's easy to go after people that don't measure up, isn't it? And unfortunately, there are people all across this land that will never set foot in a church because they came. And even though they were living in sin, instead of experiencing and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves them and can change them, they leave a place and say, "I'll never go because I've been utterly rejected." You say, "Brother David, this woman was sinning. Jesus overlooked that sin?" No. You see the text where he says, "Hey, I don't want you to go, and I want you to go, and I don't want you to sin anymore." You see, I am one of those that believes that when you get saved, there's something that happens that changes in your life. And I think the Bible plainly teaches that. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4, and then we'll be through tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. When you study the book of Ephesians, one of the themes of the book of Ephesians is of our riches in Christ. But in chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about the change and some of the things that happens when we get saved. Let's begin reading in verse number 21. The Bible says, "If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, that's what Jesus was telling this woman caught in adultery. Hey, you were living in sin. You was committing sin. But now something's changed in you. I want you to leave, and I want you to forsake your sin. I wished that I could stand before you tonight and say, you know what, I've never condemned anyone. I wish I could sit here and say, you know what, in all the messages that I've preached, I wish no one had left feeling condemned, but I probably can't. And if I was to ask you to be truthful, there's probably people that you've dealt with in your life that they came looking for answers, and what they needed to know was that there was a Jesus Christ that loved them so much, that died on an old rugged cross to pay the penalty for their sins. And even though that they are living in sin now, Jesus Christ can radically change their lives. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight, and we're thankful for the marvelous, wonderful truths of your word. God, how many times I've fallen short of this passage. Through pride, through arrogance, through haughtiness. Maybe because I thought I was better than others have lambasted people. And when they've left, instead of knowing that Jesus Christ loves them, that there is healing, that there is forgiveness, there is an opportunity to have their lives radically changed, they've left thinking, no one cares, no one loves. God, tonight I pray that before we leave this place tonight, we'll determine in our hearts that when we're dealing with people that we think doesn't measure up to the standard, I pray tonight that we'll not have an attitude of condemnation, but we'll have an attitude of compassion and forgiveness and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. God, I pray that you would move in our hearts tonight. I pray that before we leave this place, we'll be drawn closer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please, tonight? Martha and Linda are going to play.